All right. Hello, everybody. Going to answer some group questions. We had some of our members. The first one we're going to talk about is from Clay Michael. I'm not sure if I put you out there, bud, but that's who it came from. And hopefully you can watch this video and you're catching on to this one's for you. And she just asked about, could you do a video on ways to ask for consent? I get turned down a lot and a canine is always too far away. Now, we'll talk about one thing is U.S. versus Sharp, I believe, which the court denied that they would attach a timeline to a stop and how long it could go while calling for a canine. So when you say it's too far away, like how far away are we talking? That's the first question I have for you. And I wouldn't be afraid and get caught up with like, oh, well, you know, it's 15 minutes away or he's 45 minutes away. That really doesn't have an impact whether or not if you built up enough reasonable suspicion, you should be good with that. You can hold people while you're trying to effectuate your stop. And as long as you're not delaying the process and the exact wording from the case off the top of my head, I don't have it right now, but I'll add it to the video as I usually do. And you guys can read the case. And it said, you know, that there was the court in Sharp, which it came to New Jersey. And for everybody else who's watching this, they said, hey, look, we're not adopting a time limit to a stop. As long as you're diligently pursuing your investigation, we're good with that. We get that it takes time to get certain things. You're not always going to have resources at your hand. So for that, just know that maybe it's your bosses. You want to relate that to him. We just spoke with a guy earlier. We were able to provide him that same exact case law for something where he had to wait for a dog for a certain amount of time and ended up being okay, good to go. But as far as tips for getting consent, really comes down to how your interpersonal communication skills are going to be used. And the better you can talk to people, the more you know case law, the better you can explain to people what's going to happen and predictions of the future, the more sense you can make to folks. I was very, very good at getting consent to search for people. I'm sure that my coworkers could attest to that. I've had a lot of my coworkers who call me like, hey, man, are you busy? Can you come down to the scene? This guy won't give consent. And I would show up and within a minute or two, I could have the guy sign in the form. It's not because there was any trickery play. It's just that I'm a very good communicator. So I could explain to them, hey, look, I understand that you don't want to search your car. And that's within your right. I would never try to talk people into getting consent, especially on camera, to giving consent. That's not the game I played. But understand this. If you don't give consent to search, which is fine, it's within every right that you have. We are going to call for a canine unit. If there are narcotics in the car, the dog is going to indicate we are going to search the car and find what we're going to find. So it's the likely, I'm not telling you that, you know, we're going to definitely get a search warrant for it, but the dog, we have a dog. He's within 30 to 45 minutes. If that dog indicates we're going to search in the car, you know, just people will be like, I'm like, you know, it's going to happen. It's just, we are calling for a dog. The dog is going to show up. It's not a bluff. I'm not trying to bluff you. It's just that at a point, you're at a junction where you have to decide what you're going to do, and it's up to you. I would say things like that, but the name of the game is really to get people to trust you right away. So on a motor vehicle stop, if you're starting that interaction with somebody very aggressively, you start sounding like a dickhead on a motor vehicle stop, you're going to have a problem. People are going to hear that you're an asshole. They're not going to want to work with you. So I know I put that meme up before, and it said some of the best cops that I work with were the nicest guys, and some of the worst ones I work with were dickheads. And it's the truth. Like, if you're talking like a psychopath, people want to stop like, what is this registration? What do you got in this car? I know there's something illegal in the car. That's not the way to communicate to people. Hey, man, step out of the car. Hey, nice to see you. Hey, what are we getting stopped for? Oh, you know, you guys weren't wearing your seatbelts. Oh, we were. Hey, look, it's no big deal. I'm not out here trying to enforce seatbelt laws. I just want to speak to you outside of the car. Where are you guys coming from today? That's all I want to know. Where are you headed to? Who's in the car with you? Whose car is it? And just start picking apart the story. Now, if the story started not making sense, and I'll be like, man, you know, like, I don't know. There's a whole different tactics. I did silent treatments. I did active. I would lean on people really hard psychologically. Sometimes I just kind of judge what people were reacting to as I was speaking with them. So that's what you want to do is try to develop a rapport on the side of the road. Now, there's some people you're never going to be able to talk to, and they're not going to care, and they're just seeing you as a cop, and they're not making sense. We're actually working on trying to show you guys some videos from some of my stops, and we're going to go through the tactics that I use in order to gain consent or to determine whether or not we had a car that was worth pursuing for a canine search or a warrant or whatever it may be. So really, your development of your communication skills to people and coming off as a nice guy. Now, don't be too nice because you don't want to get hurt, but you can be polite to folks without giving up your guard. People still know you're a cop. You're going to want to talk to them. And a lot of guys who weren't good at that learned to get better at talking to people and just making sense to them and being cool. Hey, you want people to think that you're a good dude or girl and like, look, I'm just out here doing my job. We're cool. Like, don't worry if something's in the car. It's not that big of a deal. I'm not going away. You know, this is not, you know, I can't leave at this point now. There's just so many different tactics. It's hard for me to portray them without showing you guys how I did it in real life. We're considering doing some mock motor vehicle stops for videos to help you guys out with that. That's my answer on that. I don't want to go too long today with this video, but the other question we're going to answer is from Brian. And this is what he writes to me. And we talked about this on the phone last night. I want to do a live video because it was really important people know where it came from. And it says, sir, I'm in your group. I have a question about a search under warrantless setting in a hotel room. I receive a call to a hotel for the manager reporting a guest for a refund, who asked for a refund. The suspect becomes argumentative. During the argument, a knife falls out of her purse. The suspect picks up the knife and goes back to the hotel room. Get another call from the same suspect. She locked herself in the room and the boyfriend's outside demanding get back in. The manager responds to the room, and during the course of the argument, the boyfriend says he is the police and the girlfriend lets him in. So the boyfriend yells, I'm the police, lets her in. We arrive, boyfriend answers door, says there's no problem. Okay, so we know that there's a possible domestic. You know, so far, so good. We instruct that it's not good enough. We need to speak to the other half of the suspect. Still okay with that. The courts kind of vary. They kind of, in New Jersey, they kind of go half and half with this when it comes to domestic violence. But, you know, you're ensuring that, hey, look, we got to call and fight. There's supposed to be a knife involved. Like, we want to make sure this girl's not stabbed in the room. Good. Community care, taking, you know, emergency exigent circumstances to go make sure this person's okay. I like it so far. Again, this is my subjective opinion. It depends who you get in your courtroom, who's going to decide their subjective opinion, may go all the way up to Supreme Court level, but you might have get a whole shitload of different opinions. And you'll see that in the court system, Superior Court can differ from appellate court division opinion. And we're seeing in New Jersey, a lot of appellate and Supreme are not matching up on anything. Like, things are going to appellate and they're then going up to Supreme and there's never an agreement. They're always reversing stuff. So things don't die at appellate. They officially get laid to rest at Supreme Court level. Okay. So then what happens is they go into, interviews conducted and questioned about the knife. Suspect female states the knife is in her purse. At the same time, suspect reaches into the purse. So she's reaching for a knife and the officer immediately grabs the suspect's hands and retrieves the knife from the purse. Okay. So it goes to the purse. During retrieving the knife, the odor of burnt marijuana is emanating from her breath. Both parties are asked about the smell. Both deny smoking, are visibly under the influence of suspected heroin pills. Based on training experience, both people are very nervous. The female was seated, on a bench with a large book bag, which rose suspicion. A search of the female is conducted based on the smell of burnt marijuana emanating from her. Search revealed the book bag, 319 Xanax pills. Consent to search mail is given. So I'm going to stop it here. I don't want to go too much further into details. You go into this room and they both smell like marijuana. They become arrestable. Okay. That's in New Jersey, maybe not other states. So other states who are watching, but in New Jersey under State versus George Myers, 2015, they become arrestable at that point. And then his question to me was last night is, well, it was a DP offense. What he was getting confused on is a DP offense for a warrantless entry into a house. So we don't have or even a try to get a warrant. We don't have a felony crime in place, but you are legitimately at a certain point allowed into this room to make sure everybody's okay. Then you notice that there's odor of marijuana coming off the persons of these people, satisfying your presence requirement for a DP arrest. The only thing is like when it comes to these domestic violence situations, once you kind of make sure that everybody's okay, you kind of have to, at that point, if you haven't developed anything, say, okay, we're good. You can ask more questions, but that's just a weird, weird line. As far as the entry, if the entry is deemed okay and you're staying in the room at the time and you're now asking questions, make sure everything's right, and that's when you develop this probable cause that an offense has occurred, you can make the arrest. So my advice to you is, you don't have to ask for consent to search of anything. You have a backpack. She's holding it. Make the arrest. The search is incident to arrest, and you'll have everything wrapped up tight. And I want to reference a case. I'm going to go back to my computer here, which is State versus Walker 2013. And I'll add this up into this post. And it says, justified entry into a suspect's home to make an arrest when he answered the door smoking marijuana. So we have a DP offense there. And what it meant was, in Walker, I haven't read in a while, but it was narcotics detectives go to the house to go do a buy in Newark. I believe it was Newark. The guy answers the door smoking a joint, and then they identify themselves as cops, or he may have seen a badge, tries to close the door on them. They go in and arrest him and collect whatever drugs they found in the view of where the room they arrested him, and it was good to go. So it was a good arrest, for a DP. And the court said, yeah, it's justified. You know, they, even though he was in his home, you're right there. He's smoking a joint. Like, you can go in and lock him up on that. So that's a DP right there, which is even less, you know, justified. They were allowed to be in that area because they were doing an undercover buy. And that's where the justification comes from. So I'm going to put all that wording up. So I think that's what we got covered. I think you're good with that case. Again, let's just go back to the fact that, look, these people are shitbags, right? For the most part, these people in these hotel rooms selling drugs. Like, the likelihood of them getting an attorney and suppressing this and fighting it on all levels, it's slim to none. They're probably going to get a public defender who doesn't know half the case law that we're talking about in this group, which doesn't surprise me, because why would somebody who's involved in something master their craft and know be the best they can? You know, look, anybody can go to law school. No bullshit. Sorry. You know, there's a lot of attorneys out there that are frightening. Believe me. I've had some discussions with some of them. Woo, scary. But also the same thing. There was no malicious intent here. Worst case scenario, let's say things fell apart. You're going to get a suppression out of it, right? So you should have immunity. You know, the search was done with a good conscious effort. There was nothing trying to be deceptive. You didn't sneak through a hotel room event and was listening in and then fell down and then you stumbled across. You didn't do anything crazy. Legitimate call, legitimate response. It seems like everything went well. So as long as you write it that way and charge with the under 50, you're good to go. So with that being said, that's going to end today's video. I'm going to come back here tomorrow. We're going to talk about, I know somebody wrote in the group, setting up his motor vehicle to observe traffic, what justifies that. And they got complaints saying that was racial profiling, but that's complete horse shit, but we'll address it tomorrow. If you guys need anything, I'm trying to make this as interesting as possible. Let me know. I have a lot of topics that people have requested me to go over. I don't want to make these videos too long. So with that being said, have a good night. If there's anything I can do for you, just reach out to me.